Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's up, Brian? How are you, man?
I'm good, JJ. How you doing?
Brian, I'm not the least bit surprised. I knew this was a question of when, not if, but did the timing of the release of Le'Veon Bell catch you off guard?
Mildly. I thought, you know, I wasn't sure if they were going to release him and eat the money. It became pretty clear in the last few days that his time here was through and they were going to try to trade him. I wasn't quite sure what they would do if they couldn't trade him, which I didn't think they'd be able to, JJ. I just didn't think anyone would take the contract on. Of Bell right now. So I wasn't sure if he could be at practice tomorrow after the way this has gone the last few days and the tweets on Sunday and just kind of felt like it was hitting a breaking point. So I was mildly surprised that they ended up releasing him just because of the money.
Brian, it's going to sound like a loaded question, but you're around the team day in and day out. We obviously value your opinion. So who's more at fault for the Bell relationship being an absolute nightmare? And I mean production on the field, all the nonsense off the field. Is it more on Le'Veon Bell or is it more on Adam Gase than the coaching staff?
I think they share equal blame here. Maybe that's a cop-out answer, JJ. But
no, I think it's totally fair. Because let's be honest, guys. Adam Gase never wanted him here. And Le'Veon Bell hasn't exactly helped the situation either.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Gase didn't want him here. Jason should have gotten over that, you know, when he was signed and accepted it. I don't know if he ever really did. I think there were times when he did give a genuine effort to try to get Bell involved. And I know everyone points to one catch on Sunday. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell touched the ball 333 times here, JJ. It's not like he wasn't given the ball ever. he did have 13 carries in Sunday's game. And the receiving part of it is part Gase and it's part the quarterback looking for him. It's part is the guy open. There's a lot involved in that. I think everyone's like, one target, one target, one target. Well, you know, we don't know. I know on the Crowder touchdown, he was split wide, and maybe Flacco could have thrown to him, but he went to Crowder, and it worked. So there's a lot to that. I think Le'Veon, you know, at times he handled this stuff well publicly. Like I saw last year at the trade deadline, he was really good where Jamal Adams cried. You know, Le'Veon kind of said, this is the business. Then there were other times, like the summer, where he, took to Twitter after the scrimmage when he didn't play a scrimmage, which I thought was silly. And Sunday was another incident where, you know, it's fine to be frustrated. Go talk to the coach. You know, don't go to Twitter. Like, I have no patience for that. And I think the Jets kind of felt that way, too.
Can't blame the Jets on that. And listen, I've been killing the coach the last 2 years, and rightfully so. When you got a player going on social media liking tweets about his usage, I mean, that would just drive me to drink. It would drive me insane. But here's the question I'm trying to figure out. Because Le'Veon Bell's going to get signed. The question is where, how effective is he going to be? Well, listen, the bar has been set so low with the Jets that if he goes and averages 4 yards a carry and scores like 6 or 7 touchdowns, people are going to be thinking it's the Le'Veon Bell of old. So when you look at his market, Bry, where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, it's a good question. I actually was just reading an article about, you know, possible destinations that somebody did. you know, I think if you're a contending team and you're looking for a running back, I think he's going to be viable. He's going to come cheap because the Jets owe him $6 million. So you don't, you know, anything that a team pays him comes out of that. But so that a team can pay him the minimum. It's not like they have to pay him much money. He's not going to make more than $6 million this year, and the Jets are already paying that. Well, if he goes to a team, JJ, with a very good offensive line, I think he can still be effective. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy we saw, you know, in 2016. You know, people have to remember he was a 24-year-old running back then. He's 28 now. Pittsburgh, he had 406 touches the last year. I mean, that's a lot of usage. They really used him a lot, which was part of the reason he didn't play in 2018 because he thought the Steelers were using him up and then we're going to, you know, cast him aside. I think that year off hurt him too. I think, you know, he was a little rusty. I don't think guys come back from a year off the same way, whether it's sitting out a year or an injury takes something out of them. So, yeah, I'm curious who signs him. I'm not sure if anybody's going to jump on him immediately. And there's, you know, the COVID restrictions that take a little while for him to clear and sign somewhere. But, you know, I still do think he can be effective if he has a good offensive line in front of him.
Talking some Jets with Brian Costello as Le'Veon Bell has been released by the team. Bri, I'm going through the schedule, and I know it's the NFL, and I know anything can happen. And listen, I'm a Dolphin fan, full disclosure. So, you know, yeah. I always have, like, this fear in me that, you know, Jet-Dolphin games, expect the unexpected, and the Dolphins will be the team to give them a win. But in all honesty, Bri, I go through that schedule. Where are they going to win? If it's not Miami, where exactly the Jets getting that first win of the year?
Yeah, it'll have to be a complete fluke game where someone sleepwalks. You know, if someone, maybe leaders come in here and are just like, okay, we're not really that interested in playing the 0-12 Jets or whatever they'd be at that point, and they sneak one out. But it's going to have to be that kind of wet game, or it's going to be up to your guy Fitzpatrick throwing six interceptions in a game, which we've seen him do. You know, it was a good Fitz last week. Could it be the bad fix this week? That's their really only hope, is just really kind of a fluky game against somebody. I mean, you're right. And I mean, when you get past the Dolphins game, the stretch is brutal with the Bills coming in here, then the Chiefs, then the Patriots on Monday night, which that could just be a bloodbath. And I know the question that every Jets fan wants answered right now is, when is Adam Gase going to be fired? If they're 0-9, after that Patriots game, and it's an ugly, embarrassing loss on Monday Night Football, they have a bye now following that. I think that's a logical point where, you know, maybe the Jets part ways with Adam Gase.
Brian, I'm sitting down, I'm watching this Titan-Bill game on Tuesday night, and my team's forward quarterback, Ryan Tannehill's lighting it up. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill's having great success in Tennessee. Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki are doing their thing with the Miami Dolphins. Kenyon Drake has had success with the Arizona Cardinals. Mm. Do you buy this narrative that players escape what's going on with Adam Gase and they find ways to flourish? Like, I know those Dolphin guys are going to love the idea of possibly sticking it to their former head coach. Now, Tannehill always was very complimentary of Adam Gase and said so, you know, for years after the fact. But what do you make of this idea that players leave Adam Gase and have more success than when Adam Gase is coaching them?
Yeah, I don't think it's totally fair, JJ, because I think you can flip it around. Jarvis Landry's best year was under Adam Gase, right? You know, Jay Ajayi was pretty good under Adam Gase, didn't do much after he left. You know, I think Devontae is a fair one from people I talked to in Miami. I think Gase gave up on him too quickly down there, kind of got annoyed that he was getting hurt and wrote him off and probably shouldn't have. You know, Kenyon Drake still has his best year under Adam Gase. Best production. I know he had some moments last year for the Cardinals, but he hasn't done much this year. So, you know, Gesicki was a rookie under him. I'm not going to bang him on that one. So I don't think it's completely fair. And it seems to be only Adam Gase gets that. Like, so I'll give you a player, DeMario Davis, right? I watched DeMario Davis play for the Jets in two stints, and under Rex Ryan and under Todd Bowles, he was not this player that I watched when I watched the New Orleans Saints. He wasn't close to this play on the Jets. But I don't ever hear anybody say, you know, it was getting away from Todd Bowles was the key for DeMario Davis. No one says that. You know, like, sometimes guys blossom later. I think Tannehill had a lot of injuries with Miami, you know, better than I do, under Gase, right? I mean, even in the beginning of his career with Philbin, but under Gase, hurts his knee at the end of the first season. misses the entire second season, and the third season was his shoulder, I believe. He missed a lot of time. So, you know, and then I think Tannehill's on a much better team right now than he ever was with the Dolphins, and that certainly helps. And when we talk about Sam Darnold, right, and maybe and do they draft Trevor Lawrence next year if they get the number one pick, and oh my gosh, does Sam Darnold go somewhere and flourish? He could. Because if he gets a situation like Tennessee does, has with a really strong running back, a good offensive line, a good defense, and good coaching, I'm not going to say coaching has nothing to do with it, he could flourish. Because that's a quarterback's dream, I think, is that scenario right there. I'm not sure if Ryan Tannehill is playing for the Jaguars right now, if he looks any better without Adam Gase.
Brian, I think that's totally fair. Totally fair, especially when you bring up the Davis comparison. Now, when we get to Sam Darnold, I was very complimentary when the Jets made the pick a few years ago. I loved him at USC. I thought he had everything you were looking for. Mobility, arm strength, good head on his shoulders. And I thought all in all, he showed you some really good things this first year in the league. Now, you look at Darnold these last couple of years. Injuries have played a role. The mono has played a role. The lack of talent has played a role. So it's such a tricky spot for the Jets. Now, if they're picking one, it's not because money comes into play. Lawrence obviously comes into play. Like, it's just a no-brainer. That's the pick you make. But when it comes to Darnold's future, are you still one of those guys, Brian, that looks at Sam Darnold and thinks he can be a very good quarterback in this league?
No, I'm not. Jay, I've gone away from that. You know, I think he can be an NFL quarterback, and I think, like what I just said, if he's in the right situation, I think he can flourish. Now, remember, Blake Bortles got the Jaguars to the AFC Championship team, right? And because he had a really good team around him. Mark Sanchez got the two AFC Championship teams here with a good team. I think if Sam is in a similar situation where he has a really strong team around him, Sam can, you know, Sam is an NFL starting quarterback. I just don't think Sam's ever going to reach that level of very good quarterback, and when I'm saying very good, like Patrick Mahomes type quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, like that category of quarterback, which I think is what Jets fans hoped when they took him number 3 overall, right? They hoped he was going to be the guy. I think if they move on from him next year, there's a good chance he goes somewhere and plays well and drives Jets fans crazy. But if you get Trevor Lawrence and he is everything that people have hyped him up to be, then you should be fine.
When it comes to Joe Douglas, look, a lot of the mistakes that have been made with this franchise are not his fault, right? Like, this Le'Veon Bell contract, that's not on Joe Douglas. You look at the team losing over the last couple of years, that's not on Joe Douglas. But if there is one particular critique, Bri, that you would have of this general manager, for me, it's the idea of not coming away with a second wide receiver in a draft class that was loaded with wide receivers. I was fine with the Becton pick. We know they needed help on the offensive line, but if you're going to critique Douglas so far on one thing that has happened in his tenure, what would it be?
Yeah, I'll go same position, different critique, though, JJ. Robbie Anderson. When I looked at Robbie Anderson, right, and I covered every game Robbie Anderson played in the NFL before this year. Robbie, I never thought Robbie was Jerry Rice, right? And I didn't think the Jets should hand him a 5-year contract for $80 million or anything like that. I thought if he was going to get a monster contract, let him walk. Well, he got 2 years and $20 million from the Panthers, which it's really a 1 year $12 million guaranteed if you want to look at it. When I saw that he was gone for that, I was like, what are they doing? Why would you let Robbie walk for that? You know, like, that's a reasonable contract, and he's a good NFL wide receiver who had a rapport with Sam Darnold. You know, he had some off-the-field incidents, but he kind of straightened himself out. He hadn't had one in a long time when the free agency came around. So that one, to me, was a head-scratcher, JJ. And then turn around and say, okay, we signed Rashad Perriman. You know, I get it. He's a lot cheaper. He was, for 1 year, $6 million. But Rashad Perriman had 5 good games, and that was it. And, like, he's been unreliable his entire career, and now he can't get on the field. So, and you're watching, I mean, Jets fans just must be going crazy watching what Robbie Anderson is doing in Carolina now, where he's putting up monster numbers.
Well, Brian, I don't know what would make him more crazy, watching Robbie Anderson put up all the numbers or Matt Rhule coach the team. I mean, take your pick, right? Like, you could have had both of them for all we know. Didn't let Matt Rhule maybe hire the coaching staff And he could coach. Brian, my goodness, man. With that Carolina team, without Christian McCaffrey, to have a winning record right now, that guy could coach.
And Teddy Bridgewater, JJ, he was here. You know, I don't know how, you know, he was here. He was with the Jets, and they traded him. Obviously, they had Sam, so they moved him. But, you know, you're watching that, too. Yeah, so to me, you know, you're right. Joe Douglas, there's a lot that isn't his fault, and he's had to clean up a lot since he's gotten here. And that continued today with Le'Veon. But he really didn't, you know, he could have done a little bit more for this roster that he didn't do. I also thought he left Greg Williams really thin at cornerback. You know, Pierre Desir is not getting it done. There were some other guys out there that have a little bit better resumes that I would have, you know, cost a little bit more money, but not crazy money. I probably would have gone down that road. So, you know, that's my critique of Joe Douglas right now is Robbie Anderson. And you know, I thought he could have done a little bit more at cornerback.
Brian, final one, and appreciate the time. Jets Dolphins Sunday. This line is skyrocketing. It opened at 7.5. I mean, now it's going to be. I wouldn't be shocked if it's double digits by game time.
Wow.
Do you give the Jets any chance of being competitive in this one?
I do. Yeah, I give them a chance. I mean, because what I said before, I've seen the Fitzpatrick roller coaster up close. You know, and Jets fans have too. Go back to 2016, JJ. The week two, he's the AFC Player of the Week after just killing the Bills on a Thursday night. He was all over the field, throwing a Decker, touchdown after touchdown. The next week they're in Kansas City, he throws 6 interceptions. So that's how Fitz, you know, Fitz, when Fitz is good, he's really, really good. When Fitz is bad, he's really, really bad. So that's why, you know, I give him a chance to be competitive Sunday. I'm not sure how I would bet that. You know, and I'm confused. You tell me. I'm very confused by this Dolphins team. I didn't see the game Sunday.
Oh, it's dominant. I never saw it coming. Brian, they smoked the Niners. Was no fluke.
Yeah.
Smoked them.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw the 49ers here in week two, and, you know, with all, even with all the injuries, they looked good. So I was stunned at that result on Sunday. So I don't really know what to make of your Dolphins right now. I saw them play Thursday night against Jacksonville a few weeks ago, but obviously it was Jacksonville. So I wasn't sure what to think of that. But, you know, they're a confusing team. Obviously, they went out. They spent a lot in free agency to get better this offseason. So, you know, they should be a better team than the Jets, but I wouldn't say the Jets have zero chance in this game.
Well, Brian, it's win-win for me. Either the Dolphins get to 500 and they have a season, or they lose to the Jets and Tua's starting after the bye. So that's the way I'm looking at it, dude. It's win-win. So thank you so much for the time. Terrific insight. Keep up the good work here on The Fan and, of course, in the New York Post. And we'll be listening. We'll be reading all that good stuff, all right?
Thanks for having me, JJ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.